Welcome to Annunciation with Father David. Father David is the priest at Annunciation Greek Orthodox Church in Decatur, Illinois, where every week people are connected to the ancient wisdom of Orthodox Christianity. Here is Father David.
Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Unfortunately, the world keeps becoming more and more insane. We are living in a world now and in a civilization and a culture that continues to insist that what isn't is. And the latest example of this is the fact that the federal government has now issued an edict that all public schools should allow grown men and boys into girls' bathrooms, because we have determined that men can think that they are women and be women, and women can think that they are men and be men, despite the fact that biology and genetics say otherwise. Our culture is insisting that what isn't is. And this all comes from the fact that we have so long separated ourselves from God, and our culture has for so long tried to get rid of God from the public sphere and from public discourse, that we are now stuck with nothing but Western philosophy. And one of the foundations of Western philosophy is, I think, therefore I am. And I want you to think about that for a minute. I think. The highest and most important aspect of the human person is reason, the ability to think. Therefore, I am the name of God. I can think, therefore I am God. I can use reason, therefore I am God. And in our hymnody, we declare all the time that if God so wills, even the rules of nature can be overturned. And we see this in the person of the Most Holy Lady in Theotokos and Virgin Mary. God overturned nature by allowing her to become pregnant and remain a virgin. He overturned nature and allowed her to have a painless and incorrupt childbirth, so that she remained a virgin after giving birth. He overturned nature. And now, our culture delusionally believes that it can do the same thing, simply by saying so. Men can become women, women can become men. We are desperately trying to take the place of God with our own delusions, and we are denying reality over and over and over again. And it is becoming dangerous because we have people who want to deny the fact that there is a rape culture, and it has descended upon Europe, and they are trying to descend upon the United States. It's called Islam and Sharia law. And yet to say that, to insist upon that, to declare that truth, I mean, Sweden is the rape capital of the Western world, and they have been letting in Islam migrants for decades. But they cover it up, because to say the truth, to say the obvious, that these women are being assaulted and raped, is somehow Islamophobia or racist. And we're now going to forcibly make our women and girls face the prospect of having to suddenly see a grown man going to the bathroom in public spaces. And again, this reality, this insanity, is because we have separated ourselves from God. We have re-erected that dividing wall between us and God. Because whenever we try to become God without God, when we reach for that which we do not own, that we do not have any right to, that we cannot even begin to reach, disaster follows. Adam and Eve reached for divinity without God, and sin and death entered into the world. Cain reached for the ability to have God accept his sacrifices without doing the work of his brother Abel. And out of jealousy, he murdered his brother. We have seen communist societies all over the world turn their back on God and murder millions of their own people. We ourselves, despite the fact that science now shows that when a sperm hits a human egg, it gives off light, that somehow this human being is not a human being. This is a person that doesn't deserve constitutional rights. And because of that, we have murdered over 7 million of our own children. This weekend up in Wisconsin, our speaker talked about the liturgy and why the liturgy is important. And he began with the image of Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, with God reaching out to Adam. And if we look at that painting, there's a small, tiny space in between those two fingers. And that space can represent that dividing wall between us and God, created by sin and by death. But that space can also be occupied by this, by the liturgy. Within that space can exist what we do here, where human beings, sinful as we are allowed to participate in the salvific plan of God, where the divine comes down and intermingles with the mundane, where we get to have God himself indwell in us. So it is vitally important what we do here, especially in a world like today. And today's gospel reading challenges us, because it tells us explicitly, do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, he who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him as he told you. We are see every single time we do the liturgy. The Holy Spirit descend upon us and upon these gifts here set forth. We see mere bread and mere wine become the body and blood of Christ. We get to partake of Christ himself. We get to see God act in and through us. We get to stand before God and pray for all of his people and make a sacrifice of our time, our prayers, and our sins for the sins of everyone. And in reaction to this, the women, given this awesome news, went out and fled from the tomb. For trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone. And that's where it stops. That's where it ends. And modern biblical scholars believe that that is where St. Mark ended his gospel. And the gospel as we have it today, it goes on and says, well, they actually did tell the apostles and all of that stuff. In the original, according to modern scholarship, this is where the gospel of Mark ends, with this challenge. Are you afraid? And it is understandable that in this world that we are afraid, because the world does not like us. Christians around the world, and I mean around the world, from here in the United States to the Middle East and Europe to China, are currently being persecuted. They're being beheaded. They're being thrown out of their homes. They're being buried alive. They're being forced out of business. They're being forced into silence because nobody wants to hear the truth. Nobody wants to have someone stand up and say what isn't, isn't. What is, is. Therefore, what we do here is vitally important. Because number one, it is here that we see the truth. Because the truth is a person. It's Christ, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. The truth, the life, and the way. And we get to meet him, we get to see him, we get to pray with him, we get to glorify him, we get to partake of him. We get to experience that space where the divine reaches down and touches the mundane. Where we see the fulfillment of the promise of that painting on the Sistine Chapel, where God actually comes into contact with human beings. And then that in turn gives us the strength to go into the world and not be afraid. Because what is more important? What is more real? The resurrection of Christ, the fact that he became a human being, was tortured, died, went to the tomb, and rose on the third day for us because he loves us. Or the reality and the delusions that the world is insisting are true. What is more real? The fact that Christ trampled down death by death, or the persecution promised by our culture for those who speak the truth? What is more real? What we experience today in the partaking of the body and the blood, or the threat that we will lose friends, family, livelihood, status, earthly glory? Because if we are honest, and we are true, there is nothing to fear. Because the ultimate consequence, the worst that the world can do to us, is kill us, rob us of our life. But Christ has trampled down death by death. We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. He will resurrect everyone at the second coming. And that's the worst they can do. So we need not be afraid of all of the other things. And we see that throughout time with all of the saints. Those who were tortured, those who were killed, those who were persecuted over and over and over again. They were not afraid because Christ trampled death by death. And as the world goes more and more insane, as we insist that what is isn't and what isn't is, as lies become truth and truth becomes lies, it becomes imperative that we become lights upon the hill, that we declare what is true, what is, that Christ is risen from the dead, and by death he has trampled down death, and to those in the tombs he has granted life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever, to the ages of ages. Amen.